Police brutality is all too commonplace at nonviolent protests. Citizens exercising their First Amendment rights often face an increasingly militarized police force armed with guns, clubs, shields, and chemical agents. On Tuesday, October 17, 2000, the third and final presidential debate was held in St. Louis, Missouri. A coalition of groups and individuals came out in the streets to voice their concerns on issues they say the two major party candidates are not addressing. Over 1,000 people peacefully marched across the George Washington University campus. As the numbers dwindled, riot police surrounded the marchers and tried to corral them onto sidewalks, threatening to arrest all present. I spoke with Jamie Smith, a 20-year-old student from St. Louis who was at the rally, and relays her account of the police brutality she suffered in St. Louis.
And we were basically had police in front of us and police behind us on the street.
So you're pinned in almost.
We were pinned in. And we, again, came to a group decision that we were going to kind of, in one last push, go back to the Convergence Center together as a group instead of kind of just dispersing. People started losing momentum. We were going to go back together. We had decided that what we were going to do was try a tactic of sending groups into the walk, like the when the sign goes to walk, and walking into the walkway legally, and then taking the street that way.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to take the street to take the street back to the Convergence Center. They were going to try to force a group of 400 to 500 through the sidewalks, and we really wanted just a strong final push. Myself and a few other protesters managed to make it into the street. The girl next to me was grabbed almost, I look like by the head.
A
I don't
girl?
Know.
A young girl?
Yeah. She had her arm linked with me. We both had riot shields, but the police just grabbed us and just dragged us directly out of the street. The rest of the huge group that was behind us was immediately herded to the sidewalk. So we were stuck on the sidewalk in one lane all the way back, and we were challenging it the whole way back, just inch by inch, just trying to walk back out and take the street back and take the street back. And the police told us they would help us cross the street. And we passed the church, and we were almost past the Convergence Center, and I was starting to get really angry. I was like, you told us you're going to cross the street. They're herding us aside. We wanted to get back.
And had anybody been arrested at that point?
No.
Just people being shoved around and
yeah.
herded,
and
okay.
And so we crossed the street, and of course, you got us all in the middle of the street. Nobody wants to move. We had the street back. People didn't want to move. It was late at that time, and I had my 16-year-old brother with me.
Okay.
This was the first event he had been at, and I knew just that it was the end of the day, that things kind of just, I had this feeling that things weren't going to go well at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I convinced him to come back on the sidewalk. He did not want to go. He was very much wanting to support a direct action. He wanted to sit on the sidewalk, you know, sit in the street, and I was just really hesitant. It was his first event, and I didn't want him to have to fully experience everything at that point. And I convinced him to get on the sidewalk, and things started getting kind of pushed around. People sat on the street, and I climbed up on this fence to see what was going on. My brother was below me at my feet. The police were yelling us to get on the sidewalk, and people were honestly trying to get onto the sidewalk, but there was just 500 people. We were on a half of a block, you know, distance, trying to get onto the sidewalk, and just from the view I saw, there were a few people on the street. They arrested them, and the police just started pushing with their shields the people that were still kind of on the sidewalk back into this fence, and there was nowhere for the group to go. There was pushing back and forth, back and forth. A couple individuals got pulled into the street by the police and arrested.
How many people would you say or estimate were arrested?
Six or seven.
Okay, so about a half dozen.
And at that point, I started to panic because I wanted to get down. And there was just, all around me, where I could have jumped from was just inundated with people, and I was basically stuck. The next thing I knew, the police just surged up the crowd again, this time with pepper spray, and I started screaming, can somebody please help me? I just want to get down. I was starting to lose my balance. There was another activist up with me, a female. I helped lower her to the ground on the backside, and I basically got stuck. At that point, I looked down. There was 10 to 20 police that were all around the bottom of it, and I looked down, screaming for help the whole time, and saw a police officer right at my feet. He proceeded to directly shoot me right in the eye with pepper spray. That was the first time I was shot. From that point, I started to fall towards my left, and I got shot again from the right side of my face, and that one hit me right in the back of the throat.
As you were falling?
As I was falling.
And you made direct eye contact with this officer and asked him for help, and this is what happened to you? He pepper sprayed you.
It freaked me out. I think I was more just afraid. I was just more... just felt so sick to my stomach, the fact that I thought I was asking somebody for help, and they just attacked me.
How long were the bursts, would you estimate, with the first burst?
4 to 6 seconds. Pretty long. I remember I could remember seeing it coming out of the pepper spray, too, and it was just, like, just coated my face. At that point, I fell backwards, completely blinded.
Off the fence.
Completely blinded. My left leg hit a metal no parking sign, and for some reason, about 3 people, I don't know who, caught me.
So you were... Oh, wow.
I was taken to the ground, and I rolled over my stomach and started basically vomiting, coughing so much. It was in the back of my throat, and I couldn't breathe. 2 medical people rushed over and put me back on my back and laid me down. And I remember them kept saying... I kept saying, I can't breathe, and they said, you're hyperventilating, that's why. You're hyperventilating, you have to breathe. I thought I couldn't breathe, it just felt like everything was swelling shut, and a lot of it was just, I was so freaked out that I started hyperventilating. I couldn't open my eyes at that point at all, and I didn't even try to, I didn't even think about it. For that split second, I knew from the morning at the Convergence Center that it would go away. But for a split second, I was just like, okay, I'm blind, and that's it.
Wow.
It just...
And the police didn't arrest you after they pepper sprayed you or anything? They didn't move in?
The whole time I was on private property. Even when we were pepper sprayed, we were on private property.
How many people were hit with pepper spray, would you say?
I was told 6 or 7. I was also told that I was the worst. A lot of people got it. One person got it in the ear. He kind of shook it off. There was another 2 individuals that kind of got it towards the face. A lot of people got it on their clothing and things like that, and it just kind of got spread around that way. I found out a little while later that one of the individuals that had caught me, I heard him say to my left, because I still hadn't opened my eyes at that point, I heard somebody say, I think my hand's broken. And I don't, just instinctually I said, you know, does that person need help? And he goes, I was catching you. So an individual whom I still haven't met injured his hand, catching me in the process. I would remain on the ground with medical attention for about 20 minutes, and we were pretty much exhausting our water supply. Everybody that was there was turning over their water bottles. We had mineral oil and alcohol, and they were just flushing my face continuously. It sprayed from my face down my nose from the flushing, and then down all the back of my neck into my hair, so my neck started to burn, down my shirt. And it was pretty cold, actually, and I was just covered in water, just started shivering, still the whole time, couldn't open my eyes. I was really concerned about my brother. I didn't know what had happened to him, and, you know, they just kept trying to tell me to calm down. A lot of media were around me.
Was the incident itself documented?
There are photographs of me on the ground after I had fallen, but I'm not sure at this point if anybody actually caught me getting sprayed. A few individuals said, we heard your cries for help. And after I did get up, I went and spoke to one of the 017 organizers and was just asking him what I'm supposed to do from this point. The police had really calmed down, but they kind of just surrounded the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just all inside this private property on the parking lot. And in some strange burst of anger, I went from behind the fence and went up to the police and thanked them for shooting me in the face when I was asking for help. And at at that point, the crowd started saying, serve and protect, serve and protect. More nonviolent, how about you? And a few people even started yelling to the police, this could have been your daughter. I mean, just things that I really didn't expect to hear.
How was the police response to your
they're just dead
taunts,
silent.
If you will.
They're dead silent. They didn't say anything. One of the organizers, at this point, my eyes are just totally bloodshot, and I was told by one of the lawyers to see if I can identify the police officer. And I was really, really shaken up at this, and I really didn't want to make any, like, jump decision and just start pointing. So I stood behind the fence and just kind of observed the people chanting and the police, and I did actually see the person who did this.
You were able to identify the officer.
Yeah. I walked back out around the fence to the side, right up and down in front of these police officers that had just attacked me, and walked up to the officer with one of the 017 organizers, and the 017 organizer started writing down the badge number, and the officer's name was covered by a coat, and we asked him to see his name badge, and he didn't say anything, no eye contact. And we asked again, and he begrudgingly started to unzip his coat, and the supervisor rushed over and said, what are you doing, you're not saying anything, are you? And we told him, we have a legal right to ask for the badge number and his ID. And he said, you know, no comment besides that. He unzipped his coat, showed us his badge number. We couldn't even make out the numbers. We had to, like, get up his officer's face. He wouldn't even open his mouth to identify himself. But we got the information down. And, I mean, the whole time I'm burning on fire, basically. It's all down my shirt, down my back, and I'm also shivering. We walked back around to the other side, and at that point, the rest of the protesters had kind of decided that they were going to wait it out and wait for the people arrested to be released before they would leave the site. I was advised by the 017 organizers to go home.
Was there anything you want to add about what happened near the events of October 17th, Jamie?
I think, personally, I am considered, you know, I'm a white, pretty middle-of-the-road American girl, and for me, I got off, luckily, by being pepper sprayed in the face, if you consider that lucky. But just knowing things that come out of St. Louis, way too many individuals are shot by police, and it's never even looked upon. So I think that if my case is getting talked about at all, it really needs to be in the larger context of the fact that police are not just pepper spraying people. They are actually killing people. They are beating people. I mean, it's a lot worse than a college student getting shot in the eye twice.
And that's all for this week's program. Thanks for listening. The Weekly Freak Show is produced live in the studios of 96.3 FM Freak Radio in Santa Cruz, California. Correspondence can be sent to P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California 95061. That's P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California 95061, or via email to frsc@microradio.net. That's frsc@microradio.net. And don't forget, you can always listen to the many fine shows on Freak Radio by pointing your browser to www.microradio.net/frsc. Our theme music was written and performed by Neil Norman and his Cosmic Orchestra. For Old Lady Scar Arms and everyone at Freak Radio, my name's the V-Man, and that's a wrap.